We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Ramo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, this is a breaking edition breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go with that. Let's also go down to the Blount County satellite office of Go Vols 24/7 down there in Merville. Get the one, the only Grant Ramey. And Grant, we're here for a couple reasons, I guess. And both of them are pretty good news for Tennessee basketball.
Tennessee badly needed a big man, and they got a couple of them. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the 2022 consensus five-star prospect, consensus top 10 prospect, probably a 2021 prospect, reclassifying is the assumption there. Getting a commitment from him, you can't really overstate what they get in that. 6'9", 230, exactly kind of what they needed. And not long after, they get a commitment from four-star center Jonas Idu, the former Marquette commitment. You hire Marquette's former associate head coach, Justin Ganey. Obviously, that gives you an instant connection there. There's a little bit of interest from North Carolina late in the process for him, but he announces his commitment, and very quickly Tennessee addresses two huge needs in the post. Obviously, they had to do that. We'll see if they're done from here, but adding two really big names to the class.
Yeah, we're probably going to spend more time discussing Huntley Hatfield here since he is the newer and the bigger name. But I want to go quickly to Idu first, because this is a top 100 prospect, and I do not want to sneeze on that. You know, I mean, that's a big deal for Tennessee, and a kid who is a year older, physically probably more mature, and a guy who, you know, would have been a great recruiting get for Marquette. North Carolina tries to jump in there late, which should tell you, you know, I know that they're losing Kessler and some other guys there, but still the fact that a UNC, who in theory could go recruit anyone, wants this kid too, that's a good get for Tennessee, considering the need especially.
It is. I mean, a top 100 prospect is a top 100 prospect. It feels like he's a late riser in this class. He was a guy that wasn't nearly as highly rated probably this time a year ago or a few months ago even, but he climbed a lot over the last year and ends up as a top 100 player. I mean, 6'11", 215, you need 6'11", that can run, that's athletic. That's what Tennessee had to have in the post. I think he's a little bit more of a true center than a Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who's going to be more of probably a stretch forward, who's not going to be afraid to shoot the three. I think Brandon Huntley Hatfield's physically ready to contribute in the paint. But I think Jonas Idu is a guy who's a little bit more of a true center. And that's really what Tennessee needed. They had to address whether John Fulkerson comes back or not. I don't think Tennessee has that decision. I don't think that decision has been made and communicated to them. But regardless of that, you had to have two guys that could help you quickly. And I think Jonas Idu and Brandon Huntley Hatfield are two guys that can contribute and help you. And Jonas is a little bit more of an interesting prospect in terms of, you know, he's a North Carolina kid. They know how to play basketball in that state. We've seen it from prospects Tennessee's gotten from there, Grant Williams being one of those. They sold this kid on Grant Williams during the recruiting process. We need another one of those guys, and you can potentially be another one of those guys. So it seems like his stock is only rising, a lot of upside there.
Yeah, and he's also a couple inches taller than Huntley Hatfield, isn't he, I believe?
He is 6'11", and Brandon's listed at 6'9".
Yeah, and so I didn't want to not mention that, because that's a huge get for Tennessee, and a guy who the film that I've seen, I like it a lot. I mean, I see why people like this guy as a big man prospect. You know, it's transitioning from, you know, unless you're one of those burger boys, right? You never really know exactly how the process is going to go when you're trying to get up to speed. And even if you are a burger boy, but still, you know, there's that transition process, and it's never an easy thing for a big man, because think about it. especially in a year like next year, where you'll be going against some guys who are fifth or even sixth-year guys down low who are big, strong, physical men, and you are a young man. I won't call you a boy because you're awful large, but you're a big young man, and that's a tough thing for them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, at 215, you're going to have to add strength. You're going to have to add weight. I mean, I don't know if that's his updated weight. That was the latest number we had on him. But he's going to have to add – he'll be a multi-year player. He'll have to add that strength and kind of the power down low. But I think the raw ability, the skill set, what you want to build on is what he has. And I think that's why it's good for him, because he has a lot of upside. It feels like he's trending in the direction you want him to go.
And now shifting back over to Huntley Hatfield, I want to – emphasize this, because this is, in my opinion, it's still kind of a rare thing. This is a young man who is the number six prospect, I believe the number six prospect in his original class now, the one that he's in. However, if he were, and we've heard this, right, if he were to move up a year, reclassify, and try to play next year, if he reclassified, he still could be a top 10 prospect. So you're talking about, not only are you a top six player in your age bracket, if we move you up a year, you're still a top 10 prospect. I don't think that's a very common thing. I might be wrong about that, Grant. I might be wrong, but I think that's pretty rare.
I think it's really rare, and I think that's kind of what you get when you're 6'9", 230 at that age, kind of a year ahead of time. I don't think a lot of guys are that physically that big, that ready to go at that age, and he is. And I think what you get with him at that size is what you want in a power forward: the length, the strength he has, what he can do. He can step out and shoot it. He can score at all three levels. You know, he's comfortable. He's one of those forwards that you look like you're comfortable with the ball in your hand, just like you're a guard, because that's the way you kind of grew up playing the game, kind of with a guard skill set to go along with that power forward body. So when you combine that physicality with that skill set, it's very elite to be able to jump up in a class and still be that highly ranked. We'll see where he falls in final rankings. We don't rank the kids off, but those who do, I would assume he's going to be pretty high up on the list, and it is because he has a very rare skill set and a very rare talent.
Yeah, and I wonder, when you're talking about a guy who you're bringing up a year early, I think about this, just a maturity level, you know, not just physical maturity necessarily, but sort of a emotional, you know, maturity and all these other things. And, you know, I started college when I was 17, and I can tell you that I, in a lot of ways, was really not, like, emotionally intelligent enough, or, you know, emotionally ready for it. I had to get up to speed pretty quickly. But you're talking about a guy who you know, misses an entire year. Like, I'd skipped a grade way earlier, so I was with that same group of age people for a long time. This is a guy who all of a sudden is reclassifying. And I wonder, you know, I think about someone like Josiah Jordan James, and he probably, if you would have thrown him in there at like 15, he probably still would have been, you know, emotionally mature enough to go out there and do that. But a lot of guys are not like that. You know, they don't all show up like Josiah Jordan James being like, okay, yeah, I'm already 30 years old. You know, you don't really get that a lot. And I'm wondering if this kid, with what we know about him, do we think that he can handle something like that?
I would think so. I think these moves are viewed as a business decision.
Yep.
The quicker you can get to college, the quicker you can get to the next step beyond college. Whenever that happens, however it happens, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. If you think you're ready to, if the people around you, your family thinks you're ready to go and can handle the jump, the move up, and the jump in levels, go ahead and do it, because you're starting your clock a year early. You're adding, you know, extra time. You can't buy time, but you can buy time in this case, because you're adding that year onto whatever's next in your basketball career, whether it's stepping in and being a starter from day one at a college, a high level Power Five college program. And if you're a one and done kind of talent, I think Brent Huntley could have that kind of talent. I think you have to play his way into it, that potential to be a one and done guy. But if you're ready for it, go do it. Start your clock early. That'll get you to the next level, the pro level, a year earlier than scheduled. So if you can do it, if the people around you think you can do it, I think it's a smart move to do.
And out of curiosity here, Grant, before we go to break, Huntley Hatfield, if he were to, and I'm not saying he would still be number six if he reclassified a year. I mean, I've heard he might be in the top 10 if that happens, but not really sure exactly where he would fall in that range. But if he were the number six player in the class, has Tennessee ever, to our knowledge, signed someone quite that high? Because I think both Johnson and Springer were a little bit below that. I think maybe Tobias, some people had him third or fourth overall, maybe. I'm trying to go back and remember.
Yeah, I think Tobias was in that neighborhood, number six or number seven, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. I know Kennedy Chandler's the third highest rated player they've ever signed behind Tobias and Scotty Hobson. And Kennedy's, I think, number 13. So that's how rare this would be, depending on where Brendan Huntley Hatfield fell in that 2021 ranking.
And this is another example, Grant, I believe, of, you know, these things. It's interesting because you never really know how these things, kind of things are going to work out. And I'm not saying for one second that I believe, you know, someone like Bobby Mays just funnels everyone to his alma mater. I don't believe that at all. I think Bobby, known that guy for a while. I think that guy lets his guys do what they want to do. But the fact that a very, very elite AAU basketball summer circuit program is based in Knoxville now, and guys from all over are playing there, I think that's nothing but a good thing for Tennessee in the long run, because you got a lot of guys who are now around town a good bit more than they used to be.
For sure. I mean, this is obviously a relationship that's worked both ways. Drew Pimper, Jaden Springer were both products of the Bobby Mays program. B.J. Edwards in the 2022 class. At Catholic, the point guard, four-star, highly rated kid. A lot of upside there. He's a big-time Tennessee target. Hanjay Tamba, the seven-footer at Catholic, is another B-Mays player. Blue Kane is a shooting guard at B-Mays that they just offered, Tennessee offered a couple weeks back, or maybe that was last week. I can't remember at this point. There's been so many of these things kind of molding together. But, I mean, there's a really good relationship there, obviously, between these two sides. And it goes beyond Desmond Oliver, who was the point man for B-Mays and Tennessee's basketball recruiting efforts in the past. He goes to be the TSU head coach. I think there's a strong enough relationship on both sides where it's not just he leaves and you're in trouble there. You can reestablish those connections. And it's worked well. It's worked well for, you know, Jaden Springer and the Bobby Mays program and everybody involved there. And it's worked well for Tennessee to get talented players like these kids.
And I think that's just something that's important to note, because Knoxville having, you know, it's been a growing city, and, you know, getting a coach like Rick Barnes, and then you get a premier AAU program or summer program that's in the same area. That's something that if Tennessee continues to smoothly navigate that relationship, that's something that could help the program for a long time, and it should not be overlooked.
Sure.
So we got plenty more to discuss. We're going to step away, take a quick break, pay some bills, listen to some products, services, in-house ads, other fun things, come back and talk about where these young fellows fit into the picture for the Vols moving forward and what else could happen with recruiting for these Vols going forward. Hashtag ad.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Go Balls 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Grant Ramey coming to you from the Go Balls 24/7 Blount County satellite office down there in Merville, talking Tennessee basketball. A couple big-time commitments, top 100 big man Jonas Idu, and five-star power forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who we believe could reclassify into this current class and join Idu and Kennedy Chandler and Quentin Bunje and all those other guys in this Tennessee class going forward and be freshmen for the Vols this season. Lots of positivity to discuss, lots of good news for a program that needed it after kind of a tough year and a bunch of tough finish to the season and a lot of transitioning going on in the program. So this is certainly something that helps. Got plenty to discuss there. Before we do that, though, quick reminder, guys, please take a minute out of your day right now. Please go subscribe to this podcast. Please rate and review this podcast, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, right? Anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Please take a minute out of your day right now. Please go subscribe. Please mash that button. Please rate and review. There is nothing you can do that would help us out more than that. That helps the algorithms. That helps more people join this wolf pack, and that helps us continue to grow these numbers even more than we already have, which has been just a really fun ride for the past couple of years. And we thank you all for that. Also, please take a minute right now. If you've not been to govols247.com, go check it out. It's cheaper than one mediocre lunch per month, and you get a lot of things for that. And I'll talk about that at the end of this edition of the podcast. Grant, talking about James Idu and Brandon Huntley Hatfield and what's going on now for Tennessee. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, but we don't know what's happening with John Fulkerson. We know that there is more, let's say, optimism, I believe, than there was a few weeks ago that he will return. Mm-hmm. I think that's safe to say. I kind of thought that he would return, but that was just a guess. That was just pure speculation. I was not saying, oh, I know something here. It just seemed like something that I thought he might do when push came to shove. Looks like maybe leaning that way. But still, Tennessee, you saw at the end of last season, has a lot of work to do down low. We know there's a couple guys that if they don't go to the portal, they're still with the team. A couple of guys there who have played some basketball for Tennessee. But there's also a lot of opportunity there for someone to step up and compete with them and give them a push for giving this team a better post presence.
For sure. And you hope it's a Brandon Huntley Hatfield. And you hope it's a Jonas Idu. I mean, you need those kind of talents. You can't keep missing on evaluations on forwards. And with Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the knock on Rick Barnes has been he's gone after a lot of elite big men the last few years, mm-hmm. and he just hasn't been able to land them. He's gone after a lot of elite guards the last few years, and he's been able to land those guys. So there is some kind of, I don't know, something missing there in not being able to get that highly ranked forward. Well, now you got one of them in Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Now you got another top 100 one in Jonas Idu. And if Uroš Plavšić and if Olivier Komon, those guys aren't ready to take the next step and contribute more and be more consistent and be somebody that you can rely on, you hope that this infusion of talent is something you can rely on, somebody that you can put in day one, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, and try to get some kind of production there. The good news with John Fulkerson is I don't think you're going to have to worry about his scholarship. I would be surprised if they mm-hmm. counted against the numbers next year. So agreed. Technically Tennessee had seven departures. You count John Fulkerson's scholarship against that. Eight openings on the roster. They had four guys before Idu. Idu is the fifth. They had, now Huntley Hatfield, if he's in the 2021 class, would be six. So you've still got more spots if you wanted to try to further solidify something in the post or bring in another guard, help further solidify your inconsistent shooting in the backcourt that we we saw all season. But out of these two guys that they've added, you hope you have some kind of production, some kind of presence inside that you didn't have from Urosh last year, that you didn't have from Olivier last year, and that maybe is paired with John Fulkerson next year. Because, yeah, I agree with you. We don't know the answer there. I don't think Tennessee does either. But the way his season ended, nobody saw that coming, obviously. And it makes you wonder if he really wants to end his Tennessee career on that note.
Yeah, and I think that when looking at the numbers now, I do think that it still would not surprise me at all if Tennessee were to add one more big man from the portal. And now, if you get these two guys here, you might have the opportunity to take a chance on a big man in the portal that you really couldn't take a chance on before. Because if it were another Anisiki situation, but it were a guy who you weren't necessarily having to 100% count on, and he's just like a senior, you can take a flyer on him. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But when you have guys like this that you add to the program, combined with what the guys you already have, I mean, you throw like Jonas Idu, and you throw a Brandon Huntley Hatfield in the mix, you feel like you've given yourself a lot more solidity there. And so if you go have someone from a – because the big man portal right now, it's not necessarily loaded with big names, because we talked about this before. Right. But if you are a big man and you are really good, you're not usually in the portal. You're usually either staying where you are or you're going pro. That's – you know, there tends to be more guards from mid-majors who are really good players who jump into the into the portal. So I would say portal. But you look at now, this would seem to me to open up a much wider palette of options for going to find another big man.
It should. And I think it's worth noting, usually in normal years, the spring signing period for college basketball, it opens around this time of year, mid-April, and it runs for 4 weeks through mid-May. I believe, if I'm understanding this correctly, for 2021, it might have been the case for 2020 as well, it opens in April. It actually opened April 14th this week, and it stays open through August, some date in August. I'm not sure if that's August 1st or the last day of August or somewhere in between.
I think that's right.
But it runs through August, so you can – what that means, you can keep your options open all summer and evaluate what's in the portal, what you might think is, you know, any prep prospects that might be climbing that you want to keep an eye on. You can keep a space open on your roster all the way through the summer and try to find somebody later on in the calendar year, much later in the calendar year than normal in the past, which I think is something that a lot of teams might try to take advantage of. For Tennessee, yeah, I agree. You want to go look for some kind of veteran because, you know, Corey Walker was a highly rated prospect.
Yeah.
It doesn't always translate to a fit in your program, production on the floor. Mm-hmm. Kind of there's multiple pieces here that have to be put together. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, Jonas Idu, you want them to come in. You want them to be able to contribute, obviously, early on and be productive players, members of your basketball program. But if they're not, or if it does take a little bit more time than you're expecting, then if you have that veteran guy that you can find in the portal at some point, wherever that is, if he's in there now, or if he's, you know, if they're not in the portal yet and they get there down the line, if you can add that veteran, you know a little bit more what you're getting from day one. I think I would go that route if I could, but it just depends on who's out there, who's interested in you, and kind of, you know, what that fit is like.
Yeah, and so we believe there are still, what, three, perhaps four spots available if needed. I mean, but we can say a hard three, right? Like, or at least three. Is my math right on that, or is my math wrong, Grant?
They technically had eight openings. They had Idu and Huntley Hatfield made 5 and 6 in the class, so at least two spots.
So it's at least two, perhaps three. So yeah, good. That's why I asked you. Between the two of us, we can usually get math right if we put our brains together. But you look at it, and I still think if I'm Tennessee, and Rick Barnes may have a totally different idea, I still think one big man and one shooter is what I would like. I still think. And I know, hey, Justin Powell from Auburn, if they can get him eligible, all that good stuff, that kid can shoot, right? There's you look at the numbers, he's a shooter. I still would want one more shooter, because the way Tennessee shot the three last season, if I were a coach, that would still keep me up at night, because I feel like there are guys on this team who can shoot at a higher percentage than they did last year. However, I don't want to assume that's going to happen. So, and this is just me. Like, Rick Barnes has won, what, 700, 800 plus more games than I have. So I'm not saying I know because I don't. But I'm just thinking about it from the outside, saying I would like one more big man and I would like one more shooter. And quite frankly, I don't care if he's 5'9 or 6'9. I just want another shooter.
Yeah, I mean, James Daniel, go back to him a few years ago. He didn't make a huge impact, but there are a lot of games where he hit shots where Tennessee needed some help hit shots and it helped them win that game specifically. And maybe he didn't do much for the next 2 weeks and then he would pop up again and help them win a game. I mean, if you can find a guy, a volume shooter, a guy that's shot so much over his last 3-4 years at whatever school, whatever level it was, if he shot it at a high clip and you feel like he can come in and help you, for sure, I think you go that route and you bring him in because, right, Josiah, I expected him to shoot better this year. I expected Victor Bailey, he's going to be a volume shooter. Can he be a volume maker? Can he be a consistent shot maker? We didn't see it all season. Santiago Viscovi, we didn't see it all season. So, you can't assume they're going to make those leaps. You hope they do. You hope they are a year better, a year more consistent, a year older, all that stuff, but you just don't know it until you see it on the floor. Can you get somebody in the backcourt that can help you defensively as well? They struggled there at times too. So, I think definitely if you can find that guy, if you can find the right fit, don't tie up a scholarship just to tie it up. But if you can find the right guy to bring in and help you, I would absolutely, pursue that.
Yeah, assuming Viscovi comes back, I think that he's a guy who, if you move him a little bit more off the ball and you get him healthy, his hip really bothered him all last season. And he played through it. He's a tough kid, but he had done a lot of work to get himself in better shape. And then he looked like it early, and then he goes on and gets hurt, and I don't think he's able to show it. So, and I think you look back at maybe the way Josiah Jordan James' freshman season went, if you want to talk about how much a bad hip can really hurt you, look at the difference in Josiah Jordan James from his freshman to his sophomore year, the athleticism, some of the plays on defense he was able to make. I think that's a big thing. And I think if you move Viscovi off the ball, make him more of a true combo guard, he's a guy who you can get him in that spot right there on the right wing where I think he's never going to miss. Like that the free throw corner there extended, that wing three from the right side as the lefty, like I never think he's missing that shot. I don't care if he's 0-for-8. I feel like the ninth one's going in. That's just his spot. And so I think that will help him a lot. But, you know, this team needs someone who, when things are going badly on offense, a guy or you really need a three. They need a guy you can run a picket fence for and he can hit a three for you. I don't care. And again, I don't care if he's 5'9 or 6'9. I don't care if he comes from, you know, a UNC or Duke or you know, like Maryville College down the road. I don't care. Just someone who can step in. Like if Pember could have been that guy last season, that would have been nice. Just a guy who you can put in and say, son, I really need a three ball right here. And maybe Powell's that guy. You know, maybe he is, in addition to all the other rebounding and other things he can do. But it's just crazy because I think now in this era, Grant, I think we can probably end on this note. We were warned, and we have been warning people also, I should say, that this portal era was going to usher in a completely new period for college basketball. Because this is not football, and it will for football too, but in football you got, you know, 85 scholarships or whatever, and Tennessee for now has 85, we'll see here down the road. But you look at basketball, and there's 13. And so if you're not playing, you really want to go somewhere. Plus there's three times, you know, as many Division I programs in basketball. So there's going to be a lot of movement all the time. And so we're looking at it now where Tennessee had all those openings, and it's going to be a new roster. And then you look at it, like Kentucky's been doing this for years with the draft. But like you look across the SEC, I think this might be wrong, but I think Alabama might be the only program that did not have someone enter the portal, at least one person. And that was as of a few days ago, so it could have changed since then. But it's going to look like this probably for a while. I mean, you might still see a lot of those Grant Williams and Admiral Schofields, kind of those 3- and 4-year development guys, but I think we're entering an era now where it's going to be a lot more shotgun weddings in this sport.
Yeah, and it's going to be something that you're going to have to – it's going to be a skill that you're going to have to develop as a coach and as a coaching staff to be able to recruit at a high level and get the guys that you need to get prospect-wise and to work the portal at a high level and find the guys that you know, have interest in you and you have interest in them and you can plug them in and they can help your program. I mean, it's going to be a balancing act. You want one and done talents like Jaden Springer's and Keon Johnson's, but you also want multi-year players like Admiral Schofield's and Grant Williams who develop over time and get that experience and that leadership and know the college game. And you don't look as shell-shocked in an NCAA tournament game when you're relying on those freshmen. So you're going to have to work the portal. You're going to have to work the recruiting trail like you normally do. And you're going to have to put a lot of pieces together and try to figure out what your Tennessee basketball team looks like year in and year out. How can it, you know, how can you shape the roster to make it look the best? Obviously, there's not going to be 8 departures every offseason. It's going to be a slimmed down version of that. But the portal is going to be active, I think. Maybe it goes back to a little bit normal when the one-time transfer thing is gone, assuming that gets passed and all that stuff. But then you turn to the SEC and you wonder, is the SEC going to follow the SEC's lead and get rid of the intra-conference, you know, rule against transfers and having to sit out? You want to be competitive. Other conferences are following the ACC and doing that. So does the SEC do that? And if so, does that ratchet up the number of transfers every year in and out of the portal? But yeah, it's a little bit of a new world here where you have to juggle all this portal stuff on top of all the other stuff that you've been juggling in the past.
Well, fortunately, Rick Barnes is a really young guy. You know, he's really tech savvy and you know, he understands I'm just kidding. Rick is young at heart. He's hilariously young at heart. But I think that it's different because traditionally you would think of guys like Ticket Gaines and Drew Pember as guys who would just develop for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then they would be pretty good players as seniors or juniors, and then they would go on maybe and have a chance to play overseas or professionally or whatever. Now it's a different world because those guys are wanting to play a lot more, and as a coach you're having to say, I don't know if you're going to play a lot next year either. I think it might be the year after that before you really get ready, and then they don't want to hear that. Plus, you've also got an era now where Tennessee, and I'll end on this note, Grant, Tennessee at the beginning of Barnes' tenure, he was able to go get those guys because he knew he had at least a small honeymoon. He's a relentlessly competitive guy, and he wants to win. He's done nothing but win, like 20-plus games a year. Just circle it down every year, he's going to do that. But he had time to put in that foundation group of guys who, okay, by the second or third year, we need to be winning, but we've got some time here to, you know, get this transition. Now, you know, you've taken this team to the top 5. You've won the SEC. You've been, you know, one bad call away from the Elite Eight. You've won an SEC title. You've done some things. And so now you will be expected to basically go to the Sweet 16 or something at least, you know, every year, or people are not going to be happy. Because once you give them something, you know, Grant, you've got kids. We don't have them yet. But, you know, you start giving them candy, you know, they're not going to look at broccoli the same. You know, they want candy. And so that probably makes it more difficult for Barnes, doesn't it? Because you're not able to do as much work. You need to develop guys, but you can't sacrifice that for winning. Like, you've got to go out there and win now, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at those early teams, what they excelled in so greatly, this coaching staff, was player development and taking an Admiral Schofield and developing his game as much as they did, and Grant Williams finding him and developing his game as much as they did. Jordan Bone, Kyle Alexander, you can go down the list of players they found on the recruiting trail that weren't highly sought after, brought in, developed their talents, and turned this Tennessee basketball program into something elite. And now it is at the point where, yeah, the NCAA tournament's the expectation. That's the ground floor. And advancing in the NCAA tournament is kind of what people want to see year in and year out, past the round of 32. Into the second weekend, be a regular Sweet 16 team like some of these other programs around the country. And to do that, they're recruiting at an elite level. Tennessee basketball has, I don't think they've ever recruited as well as they've recruited the past 3 or 4 years, but now it's about getting that elite talent in the door and developing it and putting all these pieces together and sprinkling in the veteran guys with the young guys and putting all these pieces together to make a good team, because the last 2 years, despite the levels that they've been recruiting at, have been struggling basketball program. So we talked about it in the last podcast. It feels like a crossroads moment for this program with the roster overhaul and the coaching staff overhaul. Now they need to get back to hitting on their evaluations, developing that talent, and having a successful basketball program on the floor.
Yeah, when in the portal era, you're going to have more. I think you're going to have more situations like you had this year where, like a Kentucky, you know, Duke, UNC, they just have some duds because you have guys, everybody who goes there wants to be one and done. and you're going to have years where too many guys have left, and you're going to have weird years in there now where I think you're going to have to accept that because that's part of the era that we live in. But again, everybody has their own opinion. I think it's fair. I think it's right. I think this is something that coaches have been able to do in time memoriam, and I think now it's time for players to have the same luxury. So plenty of good stuff we talked about in this episode, guys. This was a lot of news for Tennessee, a lot of big news, a lot of good news for a program that, that could use some good news. So I think that's probably a good place to leave it for a breaking news edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. Grant, you got anything?
No. Actually, like 3 weeks off.
He's just gonna hang up. That's what he's gonna do. He's gonna hang up. Just do it. I know you want to. Yep, there he goes. But see, I know he's gonna do that now. And I can have the button ready. As I did just there. Guys, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. We always do. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. You can also get Just Tennessee News, nothing else. If you want that, go to twitter.com/govols247. You can also go to facebook.com/govols247 and get lots of information there. That's updated pretty much every hour, at least once throughout the day. It's called 24/7 for a reason. But if you want that most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water just right from the tap, that goodness is at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Those guys rank third in the country and doing a lot of big things heading into a big weekend against number 2 Vanderbilt. Lady Vol Sports with Maria Cornelius, the award-winning Maria Cornelius, who does a great job covering all things Lady Vols for us. Got two forums running around the clock there at the Checkerboard and the Summit. For one of them's primarily for leans more toward men's sports, the other toward women's sports, but it's kind of a free-for-all, guys. As long as it's not political or religious in nature, we will be happy to discuss it and have a fun time doing so in this digital water cooler that we all need right now, frankly, in the world that we're kind of living in. And if you do all that, guys, that is for the low, low price of less than one mediocre lunch per month. That's all it is. You can get a 7-day free trial, and then you can get still a really, really good deal. And if you pay us full price, once you do that, you get access in perpetuity. As long as you're a full pay member with us, you get access to Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All Access. Now it's Paramount Plus. What is that? That's CBS's streaming platform, the CBS Viacom streaming platform, I should say. Every show CBS has ever made commercial free, new movies every single month, all kinds of really, really good stuff on there. The movie collection has been getting a lot better the past couple months, I'll tell you that. There's a lot of good, good stuff in there. Also, you get live sports, so you get Vol stuff, SEC stuff. You get NCAA basketball, obviously March Madness, NCAA tournament, which just happened. You get NFL, PGA Tour, UEFA Champions League, which is going on right now, UEFA Europa League, which is going on right now. Just all kinds of good stuff, live, in color, full HD, awesome stuff. You can also go to, if you get all that, you also get stuff from the catalogs of MTV, BET, Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central. So just tons. I mean, from like Chappelle Show for the adults to, you know, kid stuff for Nickelodeon to documentaries for the whole family at Smithsonian. My wife and I have been watching Air Wars a lot lately about the best planes ever made. Lots of cool stuff there. Awesome, awesome stuff. So go check it out, guys. No one else can give you that deal, and we can. Nothing else. You should hear from us here in a couple days, not too long from now. Tennessee's always got breaking news, so it could be that. We never know. But until then, you'll hear from us here in just a couple days if nothing else happens. Until then, wash your freaking hands, wear your freaking masks, get that freaking vaccine. Let's do this. We're in it together. See ya. PSA out.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.